peer support for families who are in some particularly challenging situation, whether that's navigating the special education system, navigating family court, these different systems that people find themselves involved with that are super challenging to navigate, especially on top of your day-to-day life. So just a little bit of information or just somebody to watch your kids sometimes would make a world of difference. And so I want people to know that that's what we're working on. And we're not going to be able to do that by ourselves. You know, it's going to be a community effort. So I just want people to know that we're out there and we're going to do lots of stuff.
How about you, Maya? What do you want as a parent people to know about?
I think very similarly, I think that parenthood can be very isolating, especially when it's your first kid, especially when it's when they're still young.
And when there's a pandemic.
Yes, that does not help, certainly. But I think even outside of a pandemic, it's difficult. But I think what I would love is just for, like, you know, we're in a pretty sprawling area. And I think that for me, it was just such a relief to know that there was this community out there. And so I think whether it's for preschool or whether it's for these other programs, and they do a ton of amazing programming, I just want parents in the area to know that this resource exists and that there's all of these other amazing things that are on the horizon. I'm just so excited for that to exist here and for people to be able to rely on that kind of help.
All right, before we go, tell us again about this August 19th event. Is it an open house? Is that a
open house, grand reopening, free ice cream,
it's a way for, if parents are interested in the school, this is a perfect opportunity to come out.
It's a community event. It's open to everybody. So it's open to folks who are interested in the school. It's open to folks who just want to learn more about us.
Anyone with a kid who wants something to do on a Saturday.
It's really open house, open door, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And we have, so there's free ice cream, free entry. There are a couple things we're doing to raise money for the Wheelhouse, and all the proceeds are going to go directly to the Wheelhouse and all of these great programs that Alana was talking about.
And it's at the new location?
Yes.
Which is, again?
5599 Route 23, right at the corner of John Holtzman Road.
In Accra.
And what time is the event on August 19th?
2 to 5
on August 19th.
Mm-hmm. And we have, it's Catskill Wheelhouse on social media.
That was my next question.
CatskillWheelhouse.org is the website. We still have the old name on the domain, but for now, until the event, we'll keep it as is so people can find it.
All right. Well, thank you, Alana Nowitzki and Maya Prohovnik.
Yes.
Got better or
close
worse?
Enough. Thank you so much for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for coming out today to WJXC and for doing all that great community work.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Accra Hudson Catskill.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Azuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Accra.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohican stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We're often joined by our friends Georgia and Claire, but summer is busy and we can't always be in the same place at the same time, so they're not here this week and we miss them. But I'm excited to talk with Fatia, as always. So Fatia, what did you want to talk about today?
So I got this book. It was like by Bright Young.
Oh, is it Bridget Young? That sound right?
Yes, by Bright Young, and she also signed a signature, and I got it from the book festival last year, and she like with her own writing, she wrote to me like a note. The note says, "To Fatia, I hope to see your illustrations and works in a bookstore one day."
Oh, that's nice.
And like on the back, there's a bunch of words. It says, "Moraine is used to being left behind in class, but she never thought she'd be left behind in middle school. Luckily, it didn't take a genius to see that she had only one way out. Maureen knew that she had to do. She had to force Miss Garcia to give her those points to give her a chance. Maureen Blue, the stupidest girl in the 8th grade, had to join Quiz Quest."
What's the title of that book?
Bright Young.
Oh, is it called Bright?
Bright Young.
Yeah, I think it's... Is it Bright by Bridget Young?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little confusing because it's her name is similar to the title. That's pretty cool that you got to meet her at the book festival. I love that about our book festival, or not our book festival, but Hudson, the Hudson Book Festival, Children's Book Festival that the school district puts on every year. Such a great program. I always have such a great time at that festival. Have you read that book yet, or is that one you're looking forward to reading?
I read like a few pages and I didn't like read it completely. I just started reading it like a few months ago and it's been very interesting.
Sounds good. It's nice to have a book to look forward to reading over time. I've certainly had some of those that I read a little bit at a time. Sometimes I dive in and I finish a book in one day or a couple days or a week, and sometimes I spread it out. Each book's a little different. Did you have anything else you wanted to share today?
Yeah, a lot of books. No, not really.
We had a lot of books, but not really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you wanted to talk about visiting the library.
The library was very fun.
Oh, yeah. You came to visit this week. That was nice to see you at the library.
Yeah, I saw you.
Yeah. What did you get at the library?
I got books, and I also played with the Legos a little bit.
Oh, cool. Nice. Oh, I didn't see your brother. It's too bad I missed him.
Yeah.
I'll say hi to him on the radio. Hi, Azeem.
He just, spread
before. Yeah. What kind of books did you get? Did you get chapter books or picture books or graphic novels or a mix?
I got chapter books.
Chapter books?
Last time I got some graphic novel books. It was pretty cool. And, I wanted to get graphic novel books, chapter books. Yeah.
Are there any books you got the other day at the library that you're most excited to read that sound the best?
Actually, I got a few graphic novels, and I'm getting very forward to read them.
Cool. I borrow a lot of books from the library, as you might guess, because with the amount of books I read, I would not be able to survive if I bought them all. So I mostly borrow books from the library, and then occasionally I'll buy one if it's one that I feel like I want my own print copy of, or if I see it at a book sale, or sometimes I just have them that I've received over the years, or I get them as gifts, but I read a lot of books from the library. I have one that I'm reading right now that I'm really enjoying. I'm hoping that it'll continue to be as fun as it is. And it is a middle grade chapter book. It's called The Eyes and the Impossible by Dave Eggers. And it has some really pretty artwork by Sean Harris as well. But it's not a picture book. It's definitely a chapter book, but it has like full page, like double spread color illustrations that are all of, at least so far, have all been of the main character, who is a dog, a free dog, in the woods. And so I'll read the description for this one. Have you seen this dog running? You have not seen him running. Not possible. No one has seen him running because he runs like light. Have you seen the movement of light? No, you have not seen the movement of light. Johannes is a free dog, a fast dog, such a fast dog. He lives in an urban park by the sea, and every day he runs through the park, seeing all, missing nothing, and reporting what he sees to the park's three ancient bison, the keepers of the equilibrium. But the equilibrium has been disrupted. Mysterious rectangles are hypnotizing Johannes. The humans are erecting a mysterious new building, and an entirely new kind of animal has arrived in the park, and there are hundreds of them. Johannes must see better, run faster, and ultimately do more than run and see. He must liberate those he loves. So this book is all told from the perspective of this dog, Johannes, a free dog, who just lives in this park by the sea. And he describes what he's seeing, his interactions with his friends, who are a range of different creatures, as well as interactions with others, sometimes good and sometimes bad. And it's just interesting hearing a book from the perspective of a dog, which obviously it's a human pretending to have the perspective of a dog. But I also feel like it's interesting thinking about how an author writes such a book. Like, does he hang out in a park and imagine like how a dog would view the world in front of him, or is it all coming from imagination? But yeah, I really like the writing so far and the character of Johannes. And there's lots of adventures. I like his friends. It just feels a lot different than a lot of other animal books I've read in some way. And the cover's so pretty, and all the pictures are so pretty. So that's The Eyes and the Impossible by Dave Eggers. And I'm doing a mix of reading and listening to this one. And I like the audio recording so far. It's read by the actor Ethan Hawke, who I think does a good job. The one pet peeve I have about his reading is that he sometimes uses like a whisper voice, which I feel like some narrators do for audiobooks, which I'm like, why are you whispering? I want to hear the story. Like, speak clearly. None of this whispering. But that's a really fun one that I've been reading that I borrowed from the library. Actually, both the audiobook and the book I have borrowed from the library. And another one that I read recently, which is for more of a teen audience, is called North Ranger. It's by Ray Terciero and Bray Indigo. And this is a graphic novel. And I have not read Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, but it's, I guess, in some way inspired by that book. So I don't know how close it is in, like, how many connections there are to the story. But somebody who has read Jane Austen would be able to tell that, or at least that specific story. I can read the description for this one as well, but it's sort of like a mix of like summer romance, family stuff, coming of age, coming out, and mystery rolled into one. In this swoony and spooky teen summer romance graphic novel set on a Texas ranch, 16-year-old Cade Munoz finds himself falling for the ranch owner's mysterious and handsome son, only discover that he may be harboring a dangerous secret. Cade has always loved to escape into the world of a good horror movie. After all, horror movies are scary, but to Cade, a closeted queer Latino teen growing up in rural Texas, real life can be way scarier. When Cade is sent to spend the summer working as a ranch hand, to help earn extra money for his family, he is horrified. Cade hates everything about the ranch, from the early mornings to the mountains of horse poop he has to clean up. The only silver lining is the company of the two teens who live there, in particular, the ruggedly handsome and enigmatic Henry. But as unexpected sparks begin to fly between Cade and Henry, things get complicated. Henry is reluctant to share the details of his mother's death, and Cade begins to wonder what else he might be hiding. Inspired by the gothic romance of Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey, and perfect for fans of Heartstopper and Bloom, comes a modern love story so romantic it's scary. I thought this one was really fun. The artwork is great as well. It's maybe not my favorite style of art, but I think it worked well for this piece, and I never got distracted by it. I was able to dive into the story really easily. I also liked the connection with horror movies. I thought that was a fun aspect and helped build the mystery because their love and attention to focus on horror movies led them to be more suspicious and, yeah, more suspicious and swayed to thinking that there might be something bad going on. There's also another man who works on the ranch who is sort of feeding ideas into Cade's head about what has happened in the past. But there's the mystery element, but there's also, it's also just like a summer romance on the job like thing, like someone that goes out to a new place and they're getting used to like the people that they're engaging with and working with, and as well as the land and the job itself, working with the horses. Yeah, I thought it was really fun. Good teen graphic novel, especially if you're into a little romance. A little light romance, it's not too gooey. Don't worry. And I'll mention one other book that I read recently that I thought was super fun and super funny. And this one is an informational picture book for kids. It is called Butt or Face, Butt or Face? A hilarious animal guessing game book for kids by Carrie Lavelle. And it's quite literally a book where there'll be a picture of a part of an animal, and it asks the question, butt or face, and you get to guess, do you think this is a butt? Do you think this is a face? And then you turn the page and you find out. So it's got that fun guessing element, but then there's just like super quirky, funny animals in it. And it's fun. I don't know. I feel like the concept is really fun and funny, and I love learning about animals. There's some really unique ones in there, but I also like the inspiration for the book. I thought it was really amusing that the author was on, I think they were on a safari, and they went to a place where there were farmers that had drawn faces onto the butts of their cattle, I believe, and the idea was that a predator, like especially a cat predator, like a lion, wants to be able to creep up on its prey. So it's less likely to come at them from the front. It wants to creep up from behind. And so if their butt looks like a face, they're less likely to creep up on them. And the author saw that this was happening or learned about this happening and thought, like, these poor predators have this confusing life where they look at an animal and they have to think, is that a butt or is that a face? And that's a question that a predator has to consider. And so that's what inspired this book. And it's just really fun. Highly suggested for anyone that loves learning about animals and likes a little funny, quirky thing in their information books. But yeah, so those are my three book suggestions for the day. Da 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 da. What do you think about those, Fatia? Do any of those sound fun?
Yeah, like, I might even, like, try reading, like, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They sound very interesting.
Yeah, I think the romance one's a little old for you, but I think the other two you would really love.
Yeah.
So I also found, inspired by Fatia, who often shares a poem, I found some summer poems that I thought I could share. I don't know if you have any poems for today, Fatia, but you're welcome to share as well. But here I'll start. I have a couple really short ones. And the first is called Summer Stars. It's by Carl Sandburg. And this is it. Bend low again, night of summer stars. So near you are, sky of summer stars. So near, a long-armed man can pick off stars. pick off what he wants in the sky bowl. So near you are, summer stars. So near, strumming, strumming, so lazy and hum-strumming. That was a fun one. There's a lot of repeating words and, like, sounds. I thought it was nice. And it reminds me of my childhood, teen years, sitting out under the stars on a hot summer night. It's a little harder to see the stars here in Hudson with all of the street lights and everything. But some days you can see a good array of stars from here in town. I'm sure listeners that live more in the country get a beautiful night full of stars. But yeah, so that was Carl Sandburg. So then this one is also very short, called In the Mountains on a Summer Day, and it's by Lee Poe, who was likely born in 701, so writing a long, long time ago. This is In the Mountains on a Summer Day. Gently I stir a white feather fan with open shirt sitting in a green wood. I take off my cap and hang it on a jutting stone. A wind from the pine trees tickles on my bare head. I thought that was very sweet. I'll read one more. This one is called Vacation. It's by Rita Dove. I love the hour before takeoff. That stretch of no time, no home, but the gray vinyl seats linked like unfolding paper dolls. Soon we shall be summoned to the gate. Soon enough, there'll be the clumsy procedure of row numbers and perforated stubs. But for now, I can look at these ragtag nuclear families with their cooing and bickering, or the heeled bachelorette trying to ignore a baby's wail, and the baby's exhausted mother waiting to be called up early, while the athlete, one monstrous hand asleep on his duffel bag, listens, perched like a seal, trained for the plunge. Even the lone executive who has wandered this far into summer with his lasered itinerary, briefcase knocked his knees, even he has worked for the pleasure of bearing no more than a scrap of himself into this hall. He'll dine out, she'll sleep late, they'll let the sun burn them happy all morning, a little hope, a little whimsy, before the loudspeaker blurts and we leap up to become flight 828, now boarding at gate 17. And that was from On the Wing, collection of poems. But I found all of these poems on poets.org, which is a great place to find poems. And they have a specific poems for kids section too. You do an internet search for poems for kids, it'll likely show up near the top. So you can find other ones, and they have lots of fun categories. So I found the first two in a summer poems for kids section and the Rita Dove poem I found in a vacation section. And I also wanted to mention a program that is upcoming at the library that everyone is welcome to attend. This summer we've had a DJ workshop with Sarah Van Buren, a local DJ, and various guests. And it was a program for tweens and teens, and they've been learning DJing skills. And on Tuesday, August 15th, we're going to have a party at the library, and some of our DJs from the summer program are going to be the DJs at this event. And so the party is called Hey DJ, Let's Party. And everyone is welcome. You don't have to register anything, just show on up. That's Tuesday, August 15th, 5 to 7 p.m. in the Hudson Area Library Community Room. And we hope everyone will come and have fun. There'll be some refreshments, totally free. Just come and have a good time, listen to some music, support the kids, be lots of fun. You can find out more about that program and others on hudsonarealibrary.org. Do check it out. And now I think we have a little time. I could share a couple descriptions for some books coming out soon that I think are very promising. I haven't read these yet, but I plan to read all of them. So first up, and this one has already been released. I don't have the library's copy just yet, but we will be getting it. So this one is called Mexikid, and it's by Pedro Martin. And this is a graphic novel memoir geared for grades 4 to 6 or ages 9 to 11. And here's the description for this one. A poignant, hilarious, and unforgettable graphic memoir about a Mexican-American boy's family and their adventure-filled road trip to bring their abuelito back from Mexico to live with them. Pedro Martin has grown up hearing stories about his abuelito, his legendary crime-fighting grandfather who was once a part of the Mexican Revolution. But that doesn't mean Pedro is excited at the news that abuelito is coming to live with their family. After all, Pedro has 8 brothers and sisters, and the house is crowded enough. Still, Pedro piles into the Winnebago with his family for a road trip to Mexico to bring abuelito home. And what follows is the trip of a lifetime, one filled with laughs and heartache. Along the way, Pedro finally connects with his abuelito and learns what it means to grow up and find his grito. So that is Mexikid by Pedro Martin. And I think it sounds great. I love a road trip story. And everybody knows I love a middle grade graphic novel. At least I think everybody knows that. At least all of our regular listeners. But I'm curious also to see how we learn about his grandfather. Like, are there flashbacks or stories that are being told? So I'd be curious to learn more about his abuelito too. About his role in the Mexican Revolution. Or experience of that at least. And a very different middle grade graphic novel, geared for the same age, but very different topic, is Ghost Book by Remy Lay. And I've read several other books by them that I've really enjoyed, so I'm excited for this one. So let's see, here's the description. Perfect for fans of Spirited Away, Coco, and Ghosts comes a spooky fantasy graphic novel about the friendship between a girl who can see ghosts and a boy who is stuck between the worlds of the living and the dead. 12 years ago, the boy and the girl lived, but one was supposed to die. Julie Chen sees ghosts, but her dad insists ghosts aren't real, so she pretends they don't exist, which is incredibly difficult now, as it's Hungry Ghost Month, when the gates of the underworld open and dangerous ghosts run amok in the living world. When July saves a boy ghost from being devoured by a hungry ghost, he becomes her first ever friend. Except William is not a ghost. He's a wandering soul wavering between life and death. As the new friends embark on an adventure to return William to his body, they unearth a ghastly truth. For William to live, July must die. Inspired by Chinese mythology, this dark yet resounding, hopeful tale about friendship, sacrifice, and the unseen world of ghosts is a dazzling heir to beloved Studio Ghibli classics. Ooh, that sounds so good. That must be really hard, finding out that, like, you're trying to, like, help your wandering soul new friend get back to his body, and then you find out that you have to die if they're gonna stay. How awful. They figure everything out. And the last book that I'll mention this week is a middle grade novel, not a graphic novel, geared for the same grades and age, grades 4 to 6, age 9 to 11. This one is called Make a Move, Sunny Park by Jessica Kim. Here's the description for this one. From the author of Stand Up, Yumi Chung, comes a funny and utterly charming novel about friends, how to make them, how to let go of them, and how to be your own BFF. This is the story of Sunny Park, a 7th grade student at Rachido Mesa Middle who loves the K-pop band Supreme Beat, hanging out with her cool grandma, dancing when no one is watching, snacking on shrimp chips, and being there for Bailey, her best friend since 3rd grade. When Bailey decides that she and Sunny should audition for the school dance team in a ploy to parent trap Bailey's divorced mom and dad, Sunny agrees, even though the thought of performing in public makes her pits sweat. After all, she'd do anything for Bailey. In a twist of fate, Sunny makes the team and Bailey doesn't. And when Sunny reluctantly joins, it's the start of a painful and drawn-out parting of ways for the two girls. As Sunny takes her first steps out from behind her friend's shadow, she'll have to figure out who she wants to be when she's in the spotlight and who she wants dancing alongside her. I thought that sounded like an interesting concept and that there's a lot to explore there. But also, I really loved Stand Up, Yumi Chung when I read that by Jessica Kim. So I'm excited to read more from her. See if it'll live up to that other book. But highly suggest Stand Up, Yumi Chung too, if anybody out there listening hasn't read it and likes a good middle grade novel. And yeah, Stand Up, Yumi Chung is about a young woman who gets into stand-up. Stand Up, Yumi Chung. That's pretty fun. But yeah, so those are all books that either recently released or coming out soon. So definitely, if you're interested, place your holds. that you can get in line for that book, or keep an eye out for it on the bookshelves. I'm so excited to read them. Well, on that note, we are out of time for today, but we hope everyone out